Wait a minute.
Hear this.
Birdie num num.
Check one, check two. What's up, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of the Birdie Num Num Podcast. Having a good week? I hope you all are having a good week, as by the time this releases, I hope the quarantines and lockdowns are also being released and we can all carry on with our life. But how are you making use of your lockdown? Have you got better? Have you just watched TV? Have you been enjoying this podcast while hopefully being at the gym or, you know, doing something around your house? I don't know, but I would love to hear from you. So as always, drop me messages in the comments. Now, today on the podcast, my friends, my dear listeners, of course, we have so many listeners now because, wow, this podcast continues to grow. So thank you. Today on the podcast, I received a message that is actually very near and dear also to my heart because I think a lot of you, especially 20s and 30s, sort of gang can totally relate to this. So this message was from a nice guy. He said, "Hi, Sanjay. All your podcasts are very genuine and lovely. Thank you so much. I am," let's just say his name is Kevin. All right, let's just say that. Okay, so it's not, but let's just say it is. "I have been switching fields from architecture to wildlife to travel, and still I am experimenting. I am in my mid-20s, especially at this age when I started getting universal response for what I have invested for so long, slowly. Throughout these experiences, I have also become very sensitive to how people respond to me." Ooh, not just you, my friend. "And I get a lot of anxiety on how people see me in these different domains that I keep exploring all these years. It's kind of devastating to still earn less and haven't fully sorted out the career graph. Does all of this spirituality and Vipassana help in dealing with this phase of my life? Should I take a break or should I just go ahead and keep figuring it out?" Buddy, let me find the rest of your message. One second, and here it is. Then I responded to him because I said it would take me a while to make this podcast. And then I had initially said, basically, well, number one, and to anybody else listening who is confused about, you know, all this spirituality and meditation and Vipassana he had mentioned, which I have never done, by the way. I've never gone on one of those 10-day put your phone away retreats. And the irony of our society is I'm reading about Vipassana on my phone to get away from my phone. So I have started meditating though, and I also have had very close friends of mine who never meant anything bad, but were like, "Oh, wow, I saw you do stand-up comedy the second time you did it and you should quit." Or, "Oh, wow, I saw you trying to make that funny sketch, but that was really crappy. You should stop uploading that sort of stuff because no one's going to like it and you're just embarrassing yourself." Or, "Oh, wow, you had 100,000 subscribers on your YouTube channel. Why are you starting a podcast from scratch and it's not doing well and maybe you should stop it?" And so on and so on and so on. So, you know, number one, you shouldn't feel bad about feeling that way, buddy, because all of us feel that way. You know, there's so many sayings that you've heard of that done is better than perfect and that everybody starts at zero. But what I feel bad for, you said you're in your mid-20s, let's assume you're 25. You know, you grew up in a generation that is constantly comparing and looking at what everybody else is doing. And human beings, by nature, had we had to do that from the get-go, probably wouldn't have survived. You know what I mean? Like early in the days of the cavemen or, you know, whatever, I don't think you cared how many crops the farmer in the next town was having as long as you were feeding yourself. And then we discovered some people, you know, did a lot better than others. But ultimately, everyone's figuring it out for themselves. And that is the beauty of life, my friend, that everyone has to figure it out for themselves. And what I love about a lot of the people who message me, including this guy, is, dude, if you're asking yourself these questions about, you know, should you be doing this meditation and Vipassana and mindfulness, and should you be practicing healthy eating and all that stuff, while the rest of your peers are like, "Bro, lockdown is freaking crazy," and "Bro, you know, I can't get any booze right now," and this and that, you're way ahead of the game. So I commend you for that. Now, second thing, is I had responded to this young man, and a young man, I'm saying, but he's about, you know, let's say 10 years older than me. I had responded to this, let's say 10 years older than me. So I had responded to this young guy, and I was like, well, first of all, you know, especially in Desi culture. And for the non-Desi listeners, Desi is Indian, Pakistani, you know, Bangladeshi, Sri Lankan, Afghani, sort of, I think, is Afghani Desi? I'm not sure. But basically South Asian community where, you know, if you're going to try something different, modeling, dancing, startups, your own business, owning a liquor store, doing comedy, photography, whatever, filmmaking, etc., you're going to get the wrong type of viewers initially. You're going to get your close friends because that's who you need initially. You know what I mean? In order to get those first 500,000 likes or those first 30 people to your show, you need your mom to tell everybody and you need your friends to know what you're doing. Because what I love is so many, like, there's a lot of comics I know who are like doctors and engineers and they don't tell their close friends that they're doing stand-up comedy. They come to four or five shows where I put them on, at least in India I would, and they would tank because it takes years to get good. And then they would just never show up again. And they wouldn't tell their friends because they knew they already wrote themselves off that they were going to fail. They only wanted their friends to come when they were on a big show. But the embarrassing part about that is even if I was nice enough to put some of them on a big show, they're not going to be as good compared to people who have grinded it out. And then they anyways embarrass themselves as being the worst person on that show when they've called everybody else. And so what a lot of people do is they don't tell anybody. And, you know, because just like you were saying, you feel your friends are judging you because you're posting about your photography and you were an architect and now you're doing photography and you're worried about what they're going to think. But man, if you're like worried about that and you said you're introverted in one of our other messages, he says he's a very introverted sort of person. INFP, I think is, I was an ENFP. It's that kind of like GMAT or that business school sort of personality test we all take. Look it up if you don't know, INFP, ENFP, those sorts of things. But basically they analyze your character and your persona. And so he was saying he's worried about that sort of stuff and it gets anxiety. It gives him anxiety, you know, as it may give you anxiety to be like, man, I was an architect and there was decent money in that, or I was in advertising or I was in engineering, but now I'm doing these other things. And I hear you, bro. You know, I've walked away. I'd be making multiple crores by now per year in some like cushy IT executive job. Had I stuck around with that, you know, all the sales guys loved me. I was on my way. I was doing fine, but I just knew, and I need the money. Don't get me wrong. I want to get the nice big, you know, place and office and whatever. And I hear you, I'm with you, but you know, when you kind of hide that from people or you worry about that from people, and what a lot of Desis do is they don't tell anybody they have these hobbies. Well, if you don't believe in yourself, how is anybody else going to, you know, if you don't stand up and shout from the rafters that like, hey, I'm a photographer and I am going to suck for the first 2 years, or hey, I'm a filmmaker or a singer and I am going to be garbage, but guess what? Well, you're all laughing at me or ignoring me or not watching my videos on social media or not coming to my coffee shop singing shows at the college or whatever. I'm going to keep doing me while you're going to keep scrolling through your feed, just judging other people. You know what I mean? But you're going to keep getting better and you're lucky because you have a focus. You know what I mean? Like focuses may change for sure, but most people are worried about people who aren't doing anything. And so if you're trying to do something and you're worried about people who are just mindlessly drip-driving their way through life, and I take this from experience, you're really not going to go anywhere, you know what I mean? Because it's completely normal, so I'm not trying to beat you up about it, but this like anxiety and stress, for sure, man, for sure. And I don't know much, I'm not a mental health professional, but I know a lot of people, I'm not saying anxiety is not real. I'm not saying depression is not real. I'm not saying stress is not real. But I do feel, especially in a capitalistic social media, digital marketing world, where I've seen a lot of companies play this where, you know, they say it's a solution and meditation is the answer. Just like any other industry, it's ripe for abuse, dude. You don't need to do yoga to hip hop music. You don't need to freaking have Tom Hanks read you his meditation app. Eventually, guided meditation should become unguided meditation. You don't need to pay $100 a year for somebody to tell you to sit quietly by yourself. You know what I mean? Hey, give me $100. You know what I mean? So like, I'm not saying it's not beneficial. And I'm not saying, you know, everyone is not on a different journey, if you will. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's some I thought like all this Vipassana, my mom, raised us under the whole Satya Sai Baba sort of world. And I kind of shunned it, as a teenager because I thought it was lame and I thought that religion is, you know, religion is just a form of control. And, you know, I thought all the spirituality was a bunch of BS. And sure, a lot of it can be. A lot of it is. A lot of it is to make money. But, you know, so are movies and, you know, so are the health food industry. But that doesn't mean these are inherently bad things. You know what I mean? Just because somebody is trying to make money at what they're doing doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So if you're 25 and you're confused and you've have like a career switch and you are doing the mindfulness and the meditation, this is also a double-edged sword, okay? Because here's what a lot of people do as well. Especially in comedy, especially in fitness, especially in, you know, even the people who then make money and they don't have the answers by 40 because they never questioned it at the age you're questioning it, you know, after the drinking and the smoking and the sex and all the other things, is a lot of these other people, what they do is they get fully involved into the spirituality or the yoga or going to Bali and eating smoothies and having local hand made organic fate. Dude, I have a friend of mine who's in Bali and is like posting about locally sourced face masks. And I'm like, it's a paper towel on your face. You don't need to make it this big artisan story about helping this, that. Ultimately, it's a face mask. You know what I mean? It's literally a piece of fabric over your face and it has a cool design and it's great, but don't make it bigger than what it is. And what a lot of people do is they get so caught up in that world. They get so caught up in you know, mindfulness and meditation and peace and spirituality that, dude, I'm a means to an end guy. You know what I mean? So for me, like every habit has to have a purpose. Everything I'm doing has to have a purpose. I like running and exercising because it makes me feel good when I get up on stage or if I'm on video, or I like doing my podcast because, number one, people are giving me nice feedback and negative feedback once in a while, but it gets me focused. It gets me thinking, gets me articulating, and ultimately it helps people, you know, but you know, I'm not some complete altruistic person where of course I also want to get more listeners and I also want to do things right. So, that's kind of, and I know they say, you know, with Vipassana and mindfulness, just be, and, just experience it and you're on a different plane and you realize what's important, for sure. But they also say reduces stress, reduces anxiety and all that stuff. So with anything, take it with a grain of salt. You know, I would say in your case, there's no need to do 3 hours of yoga and meditation and spirituality practice every day. I think if you do 20, 30 minutes a day at your age, that's more than enough. And you are miles ahead of your peers. And then you can then use that to, you know, have more attention, more desire, more skill. You know what I mean? And speaking of skill, let me just check my camera 1 second. My wife is studying in the other room, so she cannot man the camera for me. Woman the camera for me. But that's the thing, right? So, you know, analysis paralysis, you know, making things overcomplicated. I'm reading this book right now, Atomic Habits. I highly recommend anybody who's kind of in that same nonfiction zone, give this book a read. Different than Power of Habit, I will say. I mean, he cites the book and he admits there is some overlap, but I'm getting some new different stuff out of it. And one thing I liked, which I've said before in different podcasts, so I think we're on the same lines, me and this New York Times bestselling author, is, you know, Nike's slogan is just do it. You know, and in Atomic Habits, he cites a study where they gave 100. Okay, so they had 100 kids in a photography class, they had 200 kids in the photography class, and the professor took 100 of the kids, and he was like, hey, you all need to take a picture every day. And, you know, at the end of the trimester or semester, 100 days, you know, I'm going to pick the best one and grade you on that photo. And, the other 100 kids, he was like, hey, you guys have a semester to study on the principles and on the lighting and leading lines in photography. I was explaining to my wife, which if you don't know what leading lines is and golden ratio and rule of thirds and all that stuff, I mean, Google it. Very fascinating stuff. Even for your PowerPoint slides, it would make it more interesting, and web design and all that stuff. But basically, it sounds complicated, but ultimately, like, for example, even on this podcast, I should never be center. I should be slightly off center. If you're watching the video, you can see, you know, so he said, you guys got to take like as many photos as you want, but you can dump them on a flash drive and I'll grade you on your best one. And so, sorry, that was the first group. I repeat, the first group was like, take a picture every day. The second group was like, you have all the time in the world to read about concepts and theory and all of that stuff, but I want to see one photo at the end that you present to me. And can you guess who did better overall? Who had much better photos? Was it the ones that were required to just click a photo every day and put that in a thumb drive and say, here was Mondays, here was Tuesdays, here was Wednesdays? Or was it the one that had all the time in the world to do it themselves, to like frame and composition and get direction and get theory and look for the right locations and lighting and actors and subjects and Photoshop? No, it was not. It was the people who were just forced to pick up the damn camera and get to work. And those are the ones who naturally, through repetition and through habit and through hard work and effort and exercise and skill and discipline, naturally, just intuitively, you know, got a better photo. And dude, I was talking to a buddy of mine, Arun. It's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Arun. I know I called you, but if anyone, Arun Govada, look him up. He's in New York. He's a nice kid, just turned 30. And, you know, he was asking me about podcasting and like, sorry, this was not Arun. This is my other buddy, Shri. But he was asking about, you know, how I do the flow and the cadence and, you know, when to interrupt a guest and when not to. And I was like, dude, I could give you all these tips and pointers, or you could just record 3 podcasts and you would figure it out yourself. And it would be so much easier because those synapses in your brain would stick. And so bringing it back to you, my good buddy, Kevin, you know, that's your American name because we're in America today, is, you know, you for sure should do that spiritual maintenance. You know, you got to take your car to the gas station. So you got to take your brain and your body to eating healthy and to being ahead. And I commend you for being really ahead already. You also got to remember the people who are that you're worried about really don't matter, dude. I mean, sure, your family matters, but these same people, I guarantee you, are going to be like, dude, all my friends who, you know, kind of rolled their eyes when I moved to India or rolled their eyes when I did stand-up comedy. Then when they see me in GQ or some magazine or doing some show in New York, they're like, man, this is so amazing. You were like the funniest one and this and that. And it's so good. I mean, it's a little condescending after some point because these guys are making like $500,000 at some banks in New York. But it's still like, you know, Brother V, a guy I like in Bangalore, had a great quote, you know, backstabbers return to shake hands. And I hope no one's backstabbing you, but you need not worry because as you get older, you will very easily see the people who maybe doubted you, they're just projecting their own insecurities. They're just annoyed that you're picking up a camera and announcing to the world that you're a photographer. And the beauty to kind of wrap this up is, dude, you can do everything right now. You know what I mean? You can still work in your IT job that you don't like. You can still, you know, just to have that money and security so you don't make bad decisions. You can still do your Vipassana yoga meditation, make friends in that community, read about what you want to read, you know, not watch the same crap on TV or watch it, but, you know, read a little less or watch a little less. You can still do all that. And you can still freaking learn photography and 50,000 other things because it's just about managing your time and, you know, and not, dude, once people waste so much time worrying about what people who don't matter think, that they don't actually use the time to make them think good things. You know what I mean? Like if you just use that time, those same people are, and you never would have seen these people 10 years ago because you would have graduated from high school or college and they would have carried on and you would have only bumped into them. But now you've built this artificial virtual thing like everyone is watching you. And I say this nicely to anyone listening or watching, nobody is watching you. We are all selfish. We are all so caught up in our own crap that we don't care. Like, yeah, oh, wow, he's taking photos now. Ugh, that's not a great photo. Or she's an Instagram blogger now. Ugh, she needs to drop 10 pounds or she needs to not think that much makeup is flattering. Fine, but she'll get better. He'll get better, dude. I mean, look at these people. Like, dude, okay, I'll admit that there's some fashion bloggers I've seen that I'm like, oh, honey, I'm like turning it. My wife says, I remind her of this Tan France guy from Queer Eye on Netflix, but I'm like, it's the white hair. But, you know, like there's bloggers I've seen, I'm like, you have no business being a blogger. And there's comedians I've seen who have, you have no business being a comedian. I do it too, right? But game recognize game, my friend. And anyone who is out there, you know, trying to put themselves out there, trying to work on themselves, trying not to be a bad person, you know, trying to contribute, like, you know, more power to you. I may not find you funny, but I will 100% help you and support you, you know, and just, you know, it's awesome. So I hope I answered your question. Let me just make sure I read it so properly again. So I've also become very sensitive to how people respond to me, and I get lots of anxiety on how they see you in these different domains and keep exploring all these years. Look, man, no one is watching you, as I've said before, all right? And they're going to move on to Netflix and 50,000 other things to distract themselves, because that's the best, you know, in terms of like the quality and the production. And when you're ready, they'll watch you and they'll pay attention to you. And then they'll be like, I always knew he had it in him. So rather than you worrying about giving up so that those people don't think what, like, how is you quitting going to make you feel better? Or how is you not telling them you're doing this going to make you feel better? They're just going to go back to ignoring you or talking to you anyways, right? So that's kind of where I am, guys. I hope my brother just called me, so I just screened his call in case he's watching. But he doesn't watch this because he gets this in real life. And yeah, dude, so I responded to him and I said everybody has imposter syndrome, which he said he doesn't have. And by the way, if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, look it up. All of us, you're the best. I'm not saying that I'm like the best. I'm just getting started. But, you know, if every person who tries to do something artistic will always have imposter syndrome, and it's normal and it's a great thing, because that's how you know you still care. And that's how you know this is still worth doing, because you're worried about, are you good enough? You know, could you be better? Even the most creative artists and singers, they know that there's always room to improve and grow. And what I love is, what I don't love, but unfortunately, even if you're Virat Kohli or freaking Michael Jordan or the late Kobe Bryant, people spend all their lives comparing you to other people. You know, is Virat better? Is Kobe better than Jordan? Whatever. But you're totally content and fine because you've worked hard, but you know they're always going to compare. So don't let their opinions of you dictate, you know, because they'll just move on to the next person. It's like an auntie at freaking a wedding. Like, you know, what do aunties do at weddings when there's no other single girls to comment on? You know what I mean? Like, how do they just have tea and be good people? Who knows, right? So lastly, he said, I don't have imposter syndrome. I just get stuck with anxiety on what to prioritize and bossy people outperforming me with a quantity and online presence. But being creative, I often get in my own cocoon and lack performance. INFP/T, forgot what the T was. You know, you prefer isolation. And so yeah, dude, in terms of prioritization, I would just say, I think you're doing great, because at your age, you already said you're doing all these things. My only suggestion to you is keep at it, you know, keep going. Don't get caught up in, like, you know, quarantine is a blessing for you because alcohol wasn't readily available in India for a while. And you're doing, you know, wake up early, you know, read these meme pages about business and hustling. Don't get caught up in just the successful parts of that life, but, you know, go for it. And, you know, if I was 25 where you are, because I was 30 where you are, questioning all these things after my time at Accenture. And so I would say, wake up early, eat healthy, drink once or twice a week tops, meditate for 10 minutes a day, practice your photography for 34 new minutes a day by watching YouTube tutorials online of how to do product photography or cool Photoshop tricks or whatever. I would also say, the bossy people, look, man, here's another thing about creativity. There will always be jerks and assholes who are better at networking or better at kissing ass or just better at asking. But that's on you, bro. You know, I can't make you ask somebody for, you know, helping you out or getting a mentor in photography. You're going to have to do that yourself. But that is hard work, but you got to do it. So, you know, you reach out to me online, which is great. And I'm doing this to help you out and to help out anybody else. But eventually you got to roll up your sleeves and talk to them in person, pick up the phone, make a phone call. And I know it's uncomfortable, but it was uncomfortable for me to get in front of the camera and talk to you, but here we are. So I hope that was helpful to you guys, to anybody listening. Please do drop me your notes, comments. If you have any questions or topics for the Birdie Num Num podcast, let me know. Please do like, rate, review, comment on YouTube or Spotify or whatever. I appreciate it so much, and stay safe out there. Birdie Num Num. Birdie Num Num. A birdie number. Yeah, that's right.